from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hard to live in the moment and live in the present and enjoy historically great pitching from a guy that I've like to point out I didn't want them to draft. Obviously wrong about that one. I think what Skeens has done here, not just energizing the city, but I look over at you.
Do you feel that way that he has?
There's an energy about him, yeah, for sure. I think it has magnified certain frustrations people have with the Pirates because of they never have this guy, and now that they do, it's like the window of possibilities of what could be is wide open. And people want to see them take advantage of it. I've seen it bring the old baseball lover out of you. I still think baseball is your favorite sport for as long as I've known you. And I see Pony the baseball lover, just the purist who loves the sport, everything about it, back into the forefront here. I think it's given you a little energy shot in these slow times of year. And I think most people here feel the same way. He is the best pitcher in baseball. So when Andrew McCutchen was energizing this team, he was not the best player in baseball. Mike Trout was. That was just accepted as fact, basically. He might not have even been like a top three guy most of the time. He was close, but he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
When you had Sidney Crosby, okay, you had the best player in hockey for a very long stretch, and look what they did. They paid that off with titles. Even Roethlisberger at his apex, there was always Brady. There was generally always Peyton Manning. There were a couple guys around him. This dude is the best. I don't think anybody really argues it. When you talk about repertoire, advanced kind of approach to it, you see him, and then you see everybody else. He's better. Would you agree? Better stuff, better command than even Garrett Cole, who's the reigning AL Cy Young winner.
Yeah, by far.
It's just, to me, I'm not saying it's not close, but there's a clear gap. And so when you have that, one, you gotta let yourself enjoy it, I think. And two, I understand why it would have that magnifying effect on, okay, now do something. Don't wait till next year. Don't say this is our 2012. Next year is 2013. You don't know if next year's getting here like this. With him, I think he's probably going to be the constant in this whole equation, but I'm going to be crass here, don't piss away a year of it by just twiddling your thumbs. Make some moves that suggest you understand the urgency and the gravity of the situation. That's how I feel about it, at least.
See, I don't think that existed with Crosby or Roethlisberger, to go to other phenoms, because the Steelers were winning instantaneously. That was part of Ben's allure, that they didn't lose when he got put in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And then with Sid, even though the team had sucked for a while, ownership had stabilized, and it looked like they were going to get the arena built here. And
you had cap sports,
and Malkin
too.
Was coming, and they had drafted Fleury. Like, there was, I think, a belief that
things were coalescing around him.
Things were going to work out.
But those are both cap sports. You knew that they could keep each player for as long as they wanted to keep the player.
I know, but it's just interesting, like, with the way that you frame the Skeens thing. Like, here is all this hype, and he has hit that, all the hype about him, he's matched it, and he's even exceeded it. But there's still, like, that hint of negativity. There's still that touch of negativity that can't go away. Like, the Pirates are either going to blow this because they don't want to win enough, or he's not going to be here long enough to win, and we're just grooming him for another team. This is like, we're like his college stop. We get him for 4 or 5 years, and then he's off to his real major league team after that.
Well, unfortunately, in the example I used of Garrett Cole, that is what it feels like happened. He went to the Astros, sticky stuff time. He became literally unhittable. Won a World Series. How many World Series? Just the one there, right?
Yeah.
Then went to the Yankees, won his first Cy Young last year, and other than the injury that slowed him to start this year and kept him out for most of this year so far, he's looked like the best pitcher in baseball for large stretches of time. So, I mean, do you disagree with the slight negative bent that I added to the back end of that, or that I noted was coming from some corners of the fan base?
No, I don't, but like, it's a tough one for me. Because I really, in these situations like tonight with him pitching, it's so back of mind for me, the sad reality of his long-term prospects of being with the Pirates. And I'm more obsessed with seeing him face, hopefully, Aaron Judge and
for me, it's like
those
going
guys.
For me, it's going on vacation. That first day of vacation, you're having fun, you're into the beach house or whatever, but you know in the back of your mind the next Saturday is only 7 days away.
What?
Like, that's how I look at it.
So when you go on vacation, you're already dreading the end of vacation after the first day?
That first day or night, I think, man, in like 5 days, I'm going to have to start thinking about like getting everything washed and packed and everything. Or it's like a long-distance relationship. You say, I'm having fun in this relationship right now, but chances are it's not going to last.
Oh, man. That's a pretty bleak way of looking at things, dude.
No,
even on your vacations, you're like, oh no, we just got here, but in 6 days, we're going to have to pack everything up leave.
I guess what I'm saying is that,
what the hell? That
thought crosses my mind, but then I push it out of my mind. I mean, I am much more enjoying, holy crap, every fifth day, this guy's going to go out there, and chances are I'm going to see him obliterate the best in the world at hitting a baseball. Regardless of what team is on the other side of him, this rules. I love this. Like, his starts are actually, I think, best enjoyed off of Twitter. To be perfectly blunt. Because you can't write something without somebody. And if I write, this dude is unbelievable, Paul Skeens, what a story, you'll get people saying, like, yeah, man, this rules. And then, sure enough, you'll click on your replies 5 minutes later. Yeah, he might as well be in pinstripes now, though. No! Like, now is the time you should be enjoying this. But, like, people just can't help themselves.
See, but the vast majority of stuff that I see on there is taking stock of the fact that even people outside of where we are have noticed and are making, they're taking time to get into the Paul Skeens experience or however you want.
Surrounding
him. Yeah, whatever you want to say.
He is the epicenter
of
the sport.
And guess what? Like, as far as individual players go, I'm sorry. Like, Roberto Clemente was one of the great baseball players of all time. He even was pissed off that guys like Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle and players of that era got way more publicity and attention than he did. You know, they won World Series in 71 and 79, and they had the great, theme of the family thing in 79, and that was great. But it's not like, and I know that Parker won an MVP in 78, but it's not like the entire baseball world stopped what it was doing because they marveled at Willie Stargell's power or Dave Parker's abilities. Even Bonds. I feel like Bonds, the whole reason why the guy got on steroids is because he got pissed off.
Well, that happened
that
after
McGuire,
he left the Pirates,
Sosa.
Though.
But I'm just saying, like, even in the early 90s, you were here. I know he was
the best player in the sport.
Yes,
in
but
the
he
early
was not.
90s.
He was not treated like he was not promoted as such.
Well,
his face was not everywhere.
He was pretty surly,
right?
And he wasn't the greatest guy in the world off the
field.
So
Griffey got a lot of those headlines and got a lot of the attention, and he was the face of baseball. I honestly feel like we have now Ohtani will probably wrestle it back at some point, and if Judge hits 70 home runs this year, well, then he will too. But at least for right now, I feel like we have the guy who everybody in baseball is talking about, and there aren't many times in Pirates history where I feel like that's actually happened.
Well, the reason I think people are talking about him around the sport, though, you're right that it very rarely happens with the Pirates. It didn't happen with McCutchen. The reason people are talking about him is people like a unicorn. Judge is like an almost 6'8" guy. A guy who's built like an NBA small forward or power forward being this good is pretty unusual. Ohtani does both, pitches and hits. Highly unusual. I don't think there has ever been a pitcher who has Paul Skeens' combination of both sheer velocity, number of pitches he can throw, and ability to command them all. I'll give you credit. You have said some ridiculous, seemingly ridiculously hyperbolic things about him. Best pitching prospect ever. He'll be the best pitcher any of us have ever seen. Full stop.
I think he can be the best pitcher of all time. I don't think that that's a stretch.
Early returns, 11 starts in, suggest you might be onto something. And I think that is why he is commanding so much attention, because even seasoned observers of the sport for decades have never seen any.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Anybody quite like this?
I would say he's this good, and I can't find too many pitchers other than Jacob DeGrom that you could say this. He could throw all fastballs and win a baseball game. He wouldn't even need his secondary stuff. Now, he's becoming a complete pitcher, and the only thing he risks with that low three-quarter angle is that slider can get a little flat at times, and that's the pitch that they can only have a chance on. But when he's right and he throws his fastball in the command zone that he has, he is an illusion that hitters don't like to see. It's an awkward, big guy release point, so different than what we're used to. And again, I cross my fingers. I hope he stays healthy. But you know what the rhetoric is, and you know what baseball has had a problem with, is these hard-throwing, flame-throwing freaks are not lasting as long as they should. So I hope he's an outlier, and I hope that the Pittsburgh Pirates can start keeping their own talent instead of us talking about all the great pitching that is with everybody else. And they need to start keeping their own talent, build that fan base back, and be relevant again. And baseball's better when they are.
That's John Smoltz right there on Rich Eisen's show. Not all that different from what you were describing, Malzi. Some of the negativity seeping in there. He can't help himself. Pirates don't have a history of keeping guys like Skeens, and also the injury side of it.
I have more faith that he'll be an outlier injury-wise, at least for as long as he's with the Pirates, than I do that he's going to be with the Pirates for, say, 15 years of a fruitful career. Because Skeens has not been a pitcher exclusively until very recently. I think it's very simple, actually. We get into these long-winded discussions about Tommy John and arm fatigue, and pretty much all anyone has any real sense of is this. Guys are throwing the ball harder than ever, more often than ever. They're not taking anything off of it, and they're trying to spin it a ton. And eventually, unless you have like a special UCL, and I mean this, like literally a millimeter thicker than normal, your arm is probably going to give out. That ligament will probably tear. It might even tear twice. So it really is just like battery starts at 100, Donnie, like your phone. Battery eventually gets to zero. When it does, whoop! The good thing for Skeens is he's much closer to like 98 or 99 on that battery than Strasburg was when he got drafted, where that thing was probably already at like 25%.
Well, we are joined right now by a member of the 92 Pirates, a man that pitched in the All-Star game for the Pirates in Texas in 95, the same place, not the same stadium, because they blew that, or they didn't blow it up, they just replaced it with a new
gigantic one. Gigantic new one, yes.
Pitched in that game, and now he's with us to talk about Paul Skeens and more Former Bucco Denny Nagel is on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Denny, Andrew Filippone, and Chris Muller back in Pittsburgh. How are you today?
I'm great, man. How you guys doing?
Denny, we're awesome. We're excited to watch Skeens. What are your impressions of the guy so far?
Man, I'll tell you what, I am super excited myself, too. I'm still a huge fan of the game. And, you know, so I always enjoy this time of year with the All-Star game, the festivities, the home run derby. But the game itself, to me, is always such a special time also, too. And I'll tell you what, I've been a fan. I'm coaching high school baseball myself now. And so I really started to follow a lot of the high school highlights and college baseball highlights the last few years, even more so than I had in the previous, like, 20, 30 years. So I became a huge fan of Skeens last year, watching him from his first start at LSU. And what a cool story of him transferring from the Air Force Academy to go there because, you know, he knew he wanted to pursue a career in baseball. And so, I mean, right from the first couple starts that I saw him pitch in college even, it was pretty obvious to me that this guy was going to be a special talent. And I knew it wasn't going to be, you know, it wasn't going to take long for him to reach the big leagues. I didn't think it would be this quick and this quite success, but, I mean, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Denny, how unusual is it to see a guy who's barely 22 years old already seem to have the advanced approach to the art of pitching, you know, mixing his pitches, reacting to how hitters swung at certain things, have that already 11 starts into a big league career the way Skeens seems to?
Well, you know, I think that's the thing that impressed me the most, watching him pitch. You know, when you're pitching at the SEC level now these days, I mean, it literally is pitching at like a high A, double A level almost with the talent that they have. I mean, look at the draft this year. Look how many guys, you know, went in the first, second, and third rounds from the SEC alone. You know, and so watching him last year even too at the college level and watching his repertoire of pitches and how he could set up hitters, you know, it wasn't just the fact that, yes, the guy can, you know, hit 102, 103 miles an hour on the gun, which is incredible in itself. But watching his command and the way he can set up hitters and the fact that he's got three above average pitches that he can throw for strikes, I mean, that's why it wasn't too much of a shock for me to watch him, to watch that, you know, translate over to the major league level. And, you know, so it's one thing to have electric stuff that he has, but when you have a command of the strike zone and knowledge to be able to set up hitters, like you just said, that's a whole nother level.
Denny Nagel with us, Pirates All-Star back in 95 on the fan hotline. How about the splinker pitch, Denny? What's your take on that? It's a splitter-splinker hybrid, and according to the numbers, it has so far in his major league career been the most unhittable pitch in the entire major leagues.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it is funny, like the name of the pitches sometimes that they come up with now, but I mean, to me, it's just kind of like an old-school forkball split. That, you know, it reminds me a little bit of John Smoltz, you know, my former teammate with the Braves, the way he used to throw his. Because Smoltz, he tried to master the changeup, watching Tommy Glavine and Greg Maddux, and that was always my specialty too. And Smoltz always wanted the changeup, but it just never really felt comfortable for him. So he kind of threw a similar style pitch that Skeens throws. But, you know, with all due respect to Smoltz even too, I feel like Skeens has just taken it to another level because of, you know, I heard you guys talking about it. With his arm speed, the spin rate that he's able to deliver his pitches at, I mean, it's incredible. So, you know, you can see why it's so unhittable and that stuff because his arm speed and the spin rate that he gets on that pitch.
Were you doing
ridiculous.
Spin rate, Denny? Were you in there sitting down with guys, Ray yeah. Miller back in the day, and saying, what's my spin rate on this pitch?
maybe the spin rate of how quick you could get that Miller Lite up to your mouth.
I was going to say, Leland's got the spin rate. Look at that cigarette smoke I'm blowing right now. It's spinning right in front of you. Hey, where does a guy like Skeens, this is a ridiculous question maybe, but he's been so good through 11 starts. Other than obviously trying to sustain this, how much better can he get? Like this early into his career to be this good, where's the ceiling for a guy with this level of arm talent and this kind of approach?
You know, honestly, that's a great question because, I mean, when you start off at this high a level, you know, my gosh, you know, I mean, it comes up and he's starting the All-Star game already. So where do you go from there? I think to me from here, it's literally just fine tuning things. I think for him, hopefully it'll be a situation where he kind of maybe takes a page out of somebody like Justin Verlander's book, because Justin Verlander was a guy that he's kind of the only guy that, I know you guys mentioned Strasburg before I came on even too, and there's definitely the comparisons to him too. But Verlander was a guy who I remember was kind of like a max effort guy that everything was like, you know, 99, 100 miles an hour every pitch too. And then he learned how to channel that a little bit and kind of pace himself. And now you see him even, you know, at 40 years old, You know, but even when he kind of hit that groove in his late 20s to early 30s, you notice that he was a guy that became, you know, maybe like 94 to 97 when the game started out. And then when he needed it, then he would reach back and hit that 9,900, 101. Yep. So I'm hoping, maybe, if anything, maybe Skeens can become a guy like that can just kind of channel that stuff so it can prolong his career.
Denny, are like the injury worries, or is that just being like super neurotic and paranoid about stuff with pitchers today with him because of how hard he throws? Or is that a real thing to be worried about?
I mean, you know, I'm kind of torn 50-50. I think it's a valid point. There's definitely a real thing because of, my gosh, all you have to do is look at the numbers and look how many guys are coming down with the Tommy John injuries and stuff and all the different arm injuries. I think this guy is such a hard worker that takes his craft so seriously and everything on and off the field. I mean, his workouts are already becoming legendary. Watching, you know, I love some of the memes where they compared him and Bartolo Colon with his pregame exercises and stuff, whatever. But you know, he's such a big, strong guy that, and he takes it so serious that I'm not so worried about him with the injuries and stuff too, because I think this guy is going to keep working, outworking every other guy at his position. And so, but you know, look, it's certainly a valid point too, because there are some guys that work their tails off too that still come down with that injuries. I think as long as there's a right balance of the Pirates and whoever, not babying him too much, letting him extend himself, get that pitch count up, keep you know, his throwing program, his workout, you know, long toss, all those things that come into it. I think that's some of the issue of why these guys get hurt now, is because they almost protect them too much instead of letting them go a little bit and extending them a little bit more.
Denny, I wanted to ask you, since you said you're a fan of just pitching in general, if you had an opinion, because Skeens is obviously the story and the reason we're so excited in Pittsburgh, but he had like a Robin to his Batman early in the year, and it was Jared Jones, much smaller guy, throwing basically the same level of gas at 101. What's like your prognosis on a guy like that's not as big as Skeens, didn't have the pedigree, but came out of the chute so fast? He's on the IL right now, but he had people very excited here as well early in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think going back to what I was just saying before too, as far as taking that page out of a Verlander's book, I think that's what Jones might have to learn as well too, is that every pitch doesn't have to be max effort. And that's not even your fastball too. It's you know, feeling like you have to throw the nastiest off-speed stuff, the nastiest breaking ball, the nastiest changeup, where, man, I've got to get that spin rate up and everything. And, you know, because I think too much is made of it sometimes. I wholeheartedly believe that there is a place for all the new technology, whether it be the launch angles, the spin rates, and all that. I think there absolutely has a place in the game for it. You have to compare it to, you know, it's a way to compare it to things. You know, the way we did it before was just watching videotapes and how we set hitters up. Now you can say, okay, look, maybe my spin rate has to be in such and such velocity and categories or whatever and stuff. You know, so it's a good barometer to you know, gauge your pitches by. However, someone like Jones, I think, could really take a page out of Verlander's book as well too, and realize, hey man, if I'm going to have a prolonged career and try to avoid the injury bug as much as possible, maybe I don't have to be that max effort, you know, best spin rate on every single pitch.
Denny, thanks for coming out with us. A listener texted it and said, can Denny Nagel fire up Pittsburgh for Paul Skeens tonight by doing his rendition of the human train whistle?
Very nice.
You still got it.
I still got it, man.
All right. Thank you, Denny. Thanks, appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
There you go.
I'm immediately regret.
How do you do that?
I can't even, can you regular whistle?
Not well.
Like, I tried.
Did you just hear that? He just turned his voice into a train whistle there.
He also appeared to be ready to do it at the drop of a hat.
Donnie, can you do that?
No, I can't even whistle.
How do you? How did he do that?
The more I would try to do it, the closer it would get to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I'd just end up going, huh?
Can you just please get that isolated audio of him turning himself into a train whistle?
I don't know. Yeah, I keep trying to do it. And I know it sounds nothing like that, and I'm just baffled by it.
Was he famous for that when he pitched here?
That I had never heard of that.
Yeah, someone texted in and said, make sure he does the human train whistle on the way out.
And he was just ready to go. You know what I wanted to ask, and we didn't have time. I asked him about Jones, and I'm glad he gave that answer. I wonder if guys like Denny, who pitched in the 90s, primarily basically early 2000s,
yeah,
If those guys, even though they weren't throwing as hard, generally speaking, wish they were pitching today because of the approach so many hitters have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's an all or nothing approach.
Yep.
I wonder about that. If those guys think, man, I would carve these dudes up pitching the way I used to.
Oh, Denny Nagel for joining us.
One of my favorite Pirates of the mid-90s, the post-Bonds era. I very much enjoy. That is insane. How?
I don't know. But I got...
How?
Two tweets about it that we needed to ask Denny Nagel to do the human train whistle, that was something he was famous for when he pitched here.
But do it one more time. It's uncanny.
Donnie, man. I don't even know where to start to contort my mouth to try to make myself do
like,
it.
Like, I would think you'd almost try to, like, here, like, yeah, like you're putting teeth, you're putting lips over teeth, like,
Donnie, try to do one here.
I can't even regularly whistle. I definitely can't.
He's
do
not whistling. He's not whistling. He's not going like. It's. What if the joke was he actually couldn't do it? He just had a recording of a train whistle next to him at all times.
What a bizarre talent!
I know.
Hey, what is something you're good at that no one knows about? Oh, I can do the train whistle.
I'm a human train whistle. Coming down the tracks, choo choo.
Did you know Livy Dunn was asked that about Skeens?
Can he do a train whistle?
No. She was asked what his secret talent is.
He what did she talent. Say?
Paul's hidden talent? He's a chef. He is a very good cook.
You know what was very funny about him and food, by the way? We were talking yesterday about how he takes care of himself on such like an unbelievably granular level. Like that he watches what he eats. He has that chicken Alfredo or whatever before every game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, he has a Wade Boggs, I think, superstitious meal. I think I'm getting that one right.
Chicken Alfredo's not good for you. That Alfredo sauce is very
right. But he's got a meal.
High in
but
fat.
Anyway, I said like this guy takes care of himself. He's very cognizant of what he's putting into his body. Somebody texted me after the show and said, right after you guys got done talking about that, Livy Dunn posted a picture of him ordering like double animal style cheese, you know, whatever the craziest In-N-Out fries are. Covered in cheese, all sorts of that.
I should have said something to you about that, too, because when he got to Pittsburgh, he had like a Permane's pizza ready to go back at the house. Or maybe it was for his birthday.
I don't know. I still get the sense
he's named to the All-Star team.
I still get the sense he's very careful about generally what he puts in. Although he's 22. He doesn't have to be that careful because what you eat at 22 and 32 aren't even the same.
Well, Donnie was doing that thing where he would get, what was it, like 20 chicken nuggets from McDonald's and you would put that down no problem? Just a whole 20 pack?
Yeah, that was the pre-Awaken era.
And now he's at his lowest ever weight since he started Awaken. What are you, 226 and a half?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of Permane's, free sandwiches today if you go in with a mustache in honor of Skeen's All-Star game start.
Okay, now hold on. See my facial hair fairly recently? Trim down.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do it. You'd have to put a fake mustache
on. But how far into a real mustache do you have to be before they say that qualifies? Because I think that's a...
It's like the Supreme Court on pornography.
Oh, here
you
we
know
go.
When you see it.
You know a mustache when you see
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, like you wouldn't be able to say you have a mustache right now, even if you tried to shave the sides and bottom of your face because...
You and Donnie would both have
brow,
a
stache. It's just okay. still too...
Donnie has an obvious one if he shaved his facial hair, the rest of it. He'd have an easy mustache. Pony, let me see you.
Yeah.
You'd have one.
Donnie, back in the day when you were on hard times, would you have just shaved down to a mustache today to get a free sandwich?
Oh, that's a good question.
Man, I don't know. Because it would just, like, one free sandwich just to shave down to a mustache and, like, have to wait
more likely to purchase a
beard to grow back in.
More likely to purchase a fake mustache because I don't think either one of them has it normally, doesn't grow one. Bechtold or Callis?
Callis.
Well, see, the funny thing is...
Hello, give me a free sandwich, please.
I'm pretty sure Bechtold had one as of, like, 5 days ago and he shaved it.
Right. He's got to be kicking himself.
Bless
his heart, he's got to be the sickest man in America.
And Crowley is so weird. I think he keeps looking for reasons to go back to the mustache. It's like he secretly likes it and wants it, but knows his wife doesn't. So he needs an in. He needs a reason to do it.
Skeen's
getting called up. Oh, I can get a free meal out of this. Oh,
Crowley,
we're all doing it at work as a sign of camaraderie.
Yeah, Crowley seems to do things to his body that almost every time make his wife mad. He should try to grow an understache.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Where the soul patches, he should just try to grow a full mustache under his bottom
His big
lip.
Radio gimmick is, I'll shave my head.
I'll get a tattoo.
I'll pierce my belly button.
Right.
I'll
pierce this. I'll pierce that. I'll do something humiliating if X, Y, or Z happens. To be fair, Doran lost a bet with him and still has not gotten a tattoo of WVU's logo.
Livy Dunn on Pittsburgh. I'm just starting to love everything about it, is what she told Jason Mackey.
Where's she
in the
from
last
originally?
New Jersey.
All right. I mean, if you're from Jersey, I could see Pittsburgh being pretty appealing. Skeens is from Orange County, which is just basically a county that's a giant suburb.
It's heaven.
Orange
really
County?
Nice. Yeah, I like it
a lot. It's just a giant suburb. There's nothing there.
But the weather
Tell me one discernible thing about Orange County.
Well, the weather is just so nice.
Okay, the weather's nice in San Diego. It has some character. L.A. has nice weather.
Yeah, but you get the best of both worlds with Orange County. You're close enough to get to both. So
it's basically, I can drive to these other much cooler places. That's why I love Orange County.
But you have everything there that
That's
you,
like me
you'd
saying the best
too.
Thing about when I lived in Carnegie was I was very close to 376 and I-79.
It's really just the weather thing, Chris.
Okay, there are other places in the country that have great weather. That have more character and charm.
Like what? Like where?
You don't think like Monterey, where Pebble Beach is, has very nice weather?
The problem there is that it doesn't get warm enough.
Seattle.
Rain.
Has less rainy days than we do here, I think, actually, they figured out. Vancouver. Canada, but...
Too cold.
Too cold. Phoenix.
Too hot. And you said they're going to run out of water in the next year.
No, I think they have to have like at least 100 years to even build stuff down there. I was wrong. They got to stop growing alfalfa there. That's the big one.
What?
They're growing alfalfa and taking a ton of water to grow alfalfa, and they give it back to the Saudis for something. They got some weird contract, man. It's all about alfalfa. Go look it up.
And the Saudis are in on it?
The Saudis are very in on it. The Saudis,
they made
alfalfa,
They made a trade with Phoenix.
Arizona signed a bad deal, and the Saudis have put them on hard times because of alfalfa.
Big alfalfa has taken over Phoenix.
Big alfalfa has taken over Arizona.
See, the Livy Dunn thing with Pittsburgh is that's key. You want her to like it here. Yep.
Makes
her more likely
to
sign a contract.
I bet you the weather's nicer than it is in Baton Rouge when it's summertime.
Yeah, but also, you know what, though?
But the food's better in Baton Rouge.
Okay, but she also, maybe she's mature. She's growing out of the college mindset. You know,
she's
early 20s to mid 20s. Yeah.
Yeah, were you out of the college mindset at 24?
No, not really.
Yeah, okay.
No. But she's saying nice things about us.
You're out of the college mindset now.
No, I am. I am. It's just so insane to me that this is
happening.
Yes.
I actually agree with that. They are.
We have the best pitcher in the world, the most interesting baseball player in the world, and he's dating a celebrity.
Oh, like a big celebrity who's much more famous than he is. And when she posts about him, she says, "My boyfriend did this," because her like average follower would not know or care who he is. You know what I was thinking about? I said this while you were out last week. This, I didn't say it in so many words, but I will here. This feels like an all-star game that is way more about Pittsburgh and specifically the Pirates than when the game has been here. Because when it comes here, it's like, oh, you got a new ballpark. Well, we've got to get you in line here. PNC's been open 5 years. You need the game. Or in 94, it was, hey, we haven't been to Pittsburgh in a while for the all-star game. You guys get another one? Like, it's more just here. You're Pittsburgh. You get the game. This is about a Pirate. He is the center stage attraction.
Yeah.
Would you say that
when we had the game in 94, we had Meatloaf singing the national anthem. It was a little bit better than
Ingrid?
Are
you
going
to go back
night.
To Ingrid?
For the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
Okay, now here's a point.
Chris can't enjoy it anymore. Look at his face in there. Now that he knows
but
she was...
Hold on. I tweeted last night that I didn't see it in real time and that I get such bad secondhand embarrassment from when people bomb the anthem that I can't watch. Especially, you know how when they have like a little kid and once in a while the little kid just gets nervous?
Yeah.
That, I think, is the most brutal thing to watch. I don't know how people can.
Now, Pony brought up Meatloaf in Pittsburgh in 94. Fantastic rendition of the anthem if you ever
Tremendous.
Went back and watched it.
Excellent.
Now, Meatloaf, God rest his soul, no longer with us. Are we willing to bet here that he had a few drinks in his system when he went out
Probably.
There and took
Two
that microphone?
Two out of three weren't bad. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Isn't it weird that the guy went by Meatloaf and got famous? That would be like, I'm going to embark on a recording career. My name is Beef Stew.
Do you know that he was obsessed with fantasy baseball?
And like, get out.
Yeah, was obsessed with it. Wrote letters or like sent emails to fantasy baseball writers, like asking them for trade advice and draft advice.
I think fantasy, I'll be honest, I think fantasy baseball is probably the worst fantasy sport there is.
Fantasy hockey?
Oh, that might. Really, all of them except fantasy football don't interest.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.